Hey everybody, welcome to Improv is Dead. I'm Damien Anaya, and as always, joined by my lovely co-host, Tim Lyons. Tim, how are you?
Lovely.
Lovely.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like
a magician's assistant.
Yeah, my lovely, sexy co-host, wow. Tim Lyons. Beautiful.
That's so nice. I don't think I've ever been described as sexy before.
Maybe
during roast beef. Maybe when we did roast beef together.
I bet there were
people talking about us how sexy and hot we were.
Yeah. There was probably like rankings and stuff. Like, you know, it had to have been.
Yeah, of who was the sexiest one.
There's
got to
be a
stage.
Spreadsheet out there. So if you have a spreadsheet, access to a spreadsheet still, ranking all the roast beef
if you,
boys.
If you saw the show back in, what was that, 2016, 2017?
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, it was a male burlesque show. And one of our guests today actually was the director of that show.
The second one, right?
Roast Beef 2.
I even forget.
Before we bring our guests in, I'm gonna plug our Patreon. Patreon, that's my. And my screens are going. Something happens when my dog barks, and my screens like reset themselves. It's really weird. Her whatever the frequency of her bark is, it like messes with the electrical, ins and outs of my PC. It's very strange.
Tim, one of these days you're gonna find out that she's been trying to communicate something with you this whole time.
Probably. I would love that.
Something very, very important.
What she's communicating to me right now is that there's another dog outside, and it's upsetting her. That's what I'm vibing on. Hey, listen to our Patreon. Patreon.com/improvisdead. Become an improv pervert for $5 a month. You get 70 plus of our backlogged episodes. And when I say plus, I mean one more. It's just easier to say 70 plus than it is to say 71 episodes. So you get 71 backlogged episodes, some of our nastiest stuff. You also get 100 plus bonus episodes. And that is true. It is a plus on the bonus episodes. There's tons of bonus episodes. And then you get to also request scenes for us to do. And you get to join our Discord. Tons of cool stuff going on.
Tasty.
You can't beat it.
Tasty.
For $5?
Everyone knows you're an improv pervert already. You might as well make it official.
Truly.
And join the
if
Patreon.
If you made it this far into the episode, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, wear it like a badge of honor. It's you know, wear it loud and proud.
Yeah. So. Speaking of improv perverts, we got two of the nastiest boys on today.
Oh, they're just dripping with nastiness.
Damien, I'll let you do improv the intros. You do the intros, Damien. You bring our guests in.
Yeah, I'll bring these guys in. Like I said, we talked about them earlier. Directed us Nasty Boys in Roast Beef. Louis Saunders is here. Hi, Louis. How are you?
Hi. Hey. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And then we got another nasty boy out there. We got another nasty, dirty improv pervert out there. Joran Garguillo.
Oh, yeah.
Joran, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I also saw Roast Beef a bunch of times. So,
yeah,
you know,
baby.
I was
in
the room for that.
Did you get a lap dance? I forget if we ever pulled you down for
I don't think I did. I never did. Yeah. I was always there with people that everybody was so rightfully eager to get those lap dances. And so,
yeah, and you forget how like few chances you did get, because it was only like, what was it, five of us?
Yeah.
So each show, you know,
Were going out into the audience, and you know, I would rub.
Yeah, we were grinding on everybody.
Yeah.
So
I got audience grind. But like the people
that's
that
good.
I wasn't one of the people leaping out of my chair, and there were lots of
one on stage. Yeah.
Yeah. People were.
Do you remember how much cleaning up of baby oil?
I remember the 10:30 show always smelled like baby oil. The stage was so slippery. We used more baby oil than necessary. Anytime we went backstage when we weren't on stage, we were putting on baby oil to stay shiny.
I just remember how challenging it was to move around on stage and find something to do, you know, and it would just end up being like lathering more baby oil on yourself.
Yeah, it was a full 45 minutes of an actual play, and it was like, well, what do you do for 45 minutes? It didn't take that long to get ready. for a bunch of dudes to get ready to dance.
That was my director note. If you ain't got enough to do, you just slather on
it. Slather it on you, slather it on somebody else, find spots they missed.
Yeah, I mean, strictly as a consumer, I got to say A+.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, that was and as a performer in that show, that was the highlight of my Chicago performing experience.
Yeah, I brought a lot of my people chest. To really, that show.
It was really nice to get a beer poured on my chest by Eli, a drunk Eli in the front row, loving it. We just did a mailbag episode for the Patreon this last week, and somebody sent in a question. It came to the email, so I missed it. Even though I told people to send emails, I just didn't check the email, so that's on me. But Steve P. sent us a question, and I wanted to answer it live on air while we got two phenomenal improv teachers as well as performers here with us today. Steve saw Damien and I do our Christmas show, or maybe it was a show we did in August, Damien, live at I.O. He had very nice things to say, but his question
is... Is that the Big Hat show?
That may have been the Big Hat show. Yeah, the other one
Giant
was
Hat
there.
Show, yeah. Yeah, oh, right. Got
big
it.
Hat like okay. the like the sports that brief sports fad where people were doing their interviews in front of lockers
over the
with the giant hats.
Yeah, no, this is literally a giant cowboy hat that fit over. Yeah,
well, either way, I like that sports one because it made all these baseball players try and look serious while they look like friggin Darth Helmet
huge hats
from Spaceballs.
You gotta let the players have some fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Steve P asks us: a lot of your scenes start with pretty benign statements, situations, etc., and then transition into being fun and silly in a way that feels unforced and natural. How do you do that? What goes into your head as you move the scene along?
Ooh.
Well, you know, it's funny. This is actually something that I try and like. talk to my classes about, where it's like you don't have to, you know, like wild heavy premise is like unnecessary because you just kind of like in the spontaneous like interaction that we're gonna have, we're just gonna do stuff, like we're gonna inevitably sort of like make mistakes or like not line up, and then kind of if we pay attention to that stuff, you know, we sort of can naturally roll out into sort of like, you know, finding what's going on. And I kind of am like, either way is fine, but it's sort of like if you kind of picture every scene as like either a cone or an inverted cone, you like want that shape where like the point of the cone is like simple relatability and believability, where it's like, oh yeah, that's an easy like spot to understand exactly what's going on, right? And then the base of the cone is the wild, giant, ultra complicated, specific, silly world that's been created. And it's one of those things where it's like, well, where do you start? You know, like if you start from a point of like simple relatability and then just kind of like let the action of a scene like broaden with the specifics and the strange stuff that inevitably happens while you're playing, then that feels a lot easier, you know, and there's a lot less kind of like invention. And I think the other way works too, but it's way harder because you kind of like drop all this craziness and all this specifics and all this stuff out there. And then kind of your job is like, it starts as not believable and not something that anybody's going to like actually have any feelings for. And so the goal then is to narrow it back to a point of relatability. And it's just a lot harder to improvise, I find, that way, because it's kind of like you have to rein in any sort of more wild energy pushing it out further. And actually try and get somebody to believe you.
That's a good analogy. An analogy I think of is like trying to paint over a painting, you know, like if someone is already if there's a blank canvas, you're sort of free to like kind of like figure it out together.
Yeah.
But if someone like immediately starts painting like a forest and like, you know, a river and if the background is already set, then you're limited to like trying to fit these other things in there, which sort of limits your capacity to like create something unique. So it's like, trying not to come into a scene with a sketch,
yeah,
and then trying to cast the sketch with everybody else that's playing, you know, like that's so difficult. And yeah, so
there was a workshop we did really early on with Rich Talrico where he had us literally as our early team putting thank you, where he had a blank canvas and he gave us markers and we kind of painted it line by line. It's kind of an illustration of like the best way to kind of build the picture as opposed to, yeah, like you're saying, like completely draw the thing out and then have everyone else just kind of color it in. It feels like almost like a meditative Zen thing to just be like, you know, to be like, oh, I'm confused and I don't know. And that's what I'm actually excited about that. When the next thing, maybe I had an idea and something surprises me to find that like as a jumping off point to something else is to me where I feel like it works the best.
That visual way to think about it is really cool. You know, like that painting, Damien, because I think that like it speaks towards this idea of kind of like if there's a bunch of material, then there's a lot more opportunity to be wrong. And like an opportunity to be wrong is great because it's generative, because you're like, OK, well, now we have to figure out how this works. But if you have a million opportunities to be wrong right from the beginning, then it's like, what is this ever going to be about? Right.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's too much.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a trap that you might fall into as a younger improviser is thinking that you are helping your team by like coming in with something like very concrete. But it really just like hinders you, you know, it like puts you in this small box of like, well, now I gotta like figure this out. It's it's almost like too much to think about, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Like the less you have to think about, yeah, the freer you're gonna be to like create things.
Yeah, thinking sucks. I mean, I'm just like, that's what I keep telling people all the time. I'm like, thinking sucks. We need to do a little bit of it. So friggin' optimize your thinking so you're doing it as little as possible so that you're playing.
And I always tell that to teams I coach or like classes I teach. I'm like, rehearsals and classes are times for you to think. And then when you're doing a show, it's like that, like you got to just fall back on like whatever you've already learned and not think on stage. Like that's you've whatever work you've put into it. This is where you're not supposed to think about it.
Yeah, because instinctual.
Yeah, a lot of those instincts become,
you know.
Yeah, it becomes like muscle memory, you know, over time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I hope that answered that question.
I think it absolutely did. I don't even need to put any of my ideas in.
Tim, you disagree with all of these.
I say if the suggestion is pineapple, you better fucking do something with that.
You
better get the first word out of your mouth.
I notoriously pineapple and then seeing 50 scenes about a pineapple.
I notoriously forget the suggestion as soon as it's said, and then I never come. And then I ask what it was after the show, because I just don't. I mean, sometimes the suggestion is great. Sometimes it's just like, well, we either used it or we didn't. Nothing you can do about that. Well, that feels good. And because doing improv based on improv conversation isn't fantastic, we're going to answer a question from our Discord. Improv pervert Jamie M. asks us, and this is easy. It's not very heady. It's just kind of getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite book as a kid?
Oh.
Phantom Tollbooth.
Phantom Tollbooth.
The Snark Out Boys and the Bakenberg Horror by Daniel Pinkwater.
Okay, with the Snark Out Boys and the what?
And the Bakenberg Horror.
And the Bakenberg Horror.
By Daniel Pinkwater.
How old were you when you read this
book? It was before I was a preteen, but he's still my favorite author. He's just this wild dude. He wrote Lizard Music. That would be maybe the thing that people might know. but
lizard music.
But he basically just writes like all these great books about like unsupervised, slightly disaffected kids in environments that are slightly magical. Like, you know, modern environments, but where there's like slightly magical things. And the Bakenburg Horror is the sequel to Snarko Boys and the Avocado of Death. And it's like, it's basically like the reason that the Snark Out Boys is because there's a movie theater called The Snark that shows movies all night long, and they snark out by
snarking
out by sneaking out of the house and going to see movies. And then they get involved in all these mysteries. And there's like a Sherlock Holmes analog who like wears a fake nose and a bunch of makeup because it's theorized he fell into a vat and got himself all messed up at some point in time. And there's like a Napoleon of crime who's a criminal genius that's involved in all kinds of stuff. And the Bakenburg Horror basically is there's someone who possibly is a werewolf terrorizing Bakenburg.
Okay.
It's great.
Sounds like it's some good stuff.
It's hilarious. I mean, I think that he's my main influence on my sense of humor is Daniel Pinkwater.
Oh, okay.
Daniel Pinkwater.
Phantom Tollbooth is a Roald Dahl book. It's just about a kid who gets a present one day, and it's a toll booth, and he in a little car, and he drives his little car through the toll booth, and he's in a magical world where there are these kingdoms of like there's a math kingdom and a language like an alphabet kingdom or something
like Donald Duck in Magic Land.
yeah, but I love it. I think I read it during the pandemic again and loved it just as much. I love getting lost in that little world, and there was never a sequel or anything like that. So
thank God.
I love it.
What about you guys?
You got a perfect book. Why make a sequel? Would that be like young adult, or is it younger than young adult?
I would say it's probably young adult. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like definitely I don't know what the age ranges are, but I read it when I was like maybe 10.
Okay. Yeah, that's, you know, I feel like young adult became a thing around like the Harry Potter, where it's like, well, adults are reading this, but you should be a young adult if you're reading this.
Yeah. I should ask Mary Wynn. This might be middle grade. Middle grade is a thing. So
middle grade.
Middle grade.
Okay. Damien, you got a favorite book from your childhood?
James and the Giant Peach was the first book I read by myself.
Oh, nice.
Which was maybe my favorite. But I think nostalgically, How to Eat Fried Worms is maybe my favorite. Because my mom read it to me and my brother before bed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I remember being like super excited for like, you know, to get to the next chapter of How to Eat Fried Worms.
That's how my dad did that with me with like Lord of the Rings and Howard Pyle that wrote a bunch of stuff about like King Arthur and Robin Hood. Mm-hmm. And he also read like all the Douglas Adams Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books to us.
Wow.
Which we were such shits about it because the fourth book is like very unlike the first three, and there's a lot of sex in it, and we kept being like, no, you gotta read it, and we're like,
you gotta read the sex part.
It's just like, oh boy. I feel for my dad now.
Damien, what was the central thesis of How to Eat Fried Worms?
Dude, I honestly couldn't tell you. I just remember it being kids, it's a group of kids. And I remember, I don't know if they're like talking about like actually eating fried worms or not, but.
Yeah, I think it's like a dare about like one kid brags about how he could eat worms or something. And then it's like turns into a thing.
And I really kind of forget what the lesson or the moral of the story is supposed to be, but I know it's a lot of like, you know, how friends interact with each other and like maybe it's peer pressure stuff.
Okay.
What about you, Tim?
My favorite book as a kid was called The Thief of Always by Clive Barker.
Oh, yeah.
And I still have, I have like an original copy that my sister gave me. My sister gave it to me before she went to college. And I read it so fast. I just reread it recently. It's a horror book. It's not like a kid friendly book.
Yeah. It's the most accessible Clive Barker book, I think. But everything he writes is basically about, is like BDSM horror. So
yes, yeah, this does not have this does not have much of that.
And here's a children's book.
Yeah,
yeah, it's Clive Barker's version of a children's book.
The Thief of Always is about a kid who fed up with his parents. He runs away from home by being convinced by kind of like this little goblin guy comes into his room in the middle of the night, and he goes to this house that's like kind of hidden only to children. And when you go there, it's all the seasons in a day. So like seasons and like holidays. So it's like it starts with spring and it feels amazing. And then it goes to summer and then fall. And then there's Halloween every day. And I won't ruin why that's important. But it's really good. And there's other kids there. And there's other kids there who've been there for longer. And there's just like a lot of the creepy little characters. And it's a mystery that unfolds. I feel like it would make a great Netflix show. Or it would have made a great Netflix show in the era of like that nostalgia style, like Stranger Things with like kids and stuff like that. And I was always looking up. I was like, are they doing this or what's his plan with this thing? Because it feels like it's ripe for that type of adaptation.
Yeah, and he's a huge media guy too. Like,
yeah, and I think there was an article written about it in like 2021 where he was going to do it, and then I think it kind of fell apart. And I was like practicing like adapting something, and I was like, this would be a fun thing to like try and like how do you stretch this over like six episodes? I was like, you couldn't get more than I think one season out of this. And I mean, you could if you really wanted to, but I felt like it would have made a great like what's his name, the guy who does the Haunting of House Bly and Fall of House Usher,
right.
What's his name,
Mike Flanagan?
Yes, Mike Flanagan. It feels kind of like a Mike Flanagan-esque story in that way. One central location, simple cast of characters type of thing.
Well, who knows? Maybe now that it's out in the universe.
I hope I get cast as the kid.
You'd be great.
But, but likely, right in it likely will be cast, if at all, as the little troll who comes to the kid's house. Hey, kid. I feel pretty good. I feel like we got a lot of good stuff there on top of improv, on top of our favorite books. I say we get into it. Does anybody have a scene suggestion that they want to see us do? A scene idea based on the conversation we had?
I mean, because of the Phantom Tollbooth thing with Louis talking about going to the various lands, and it did make me think of Donald Duck's Math Magic Land, and like how a big part of that I remember is him using math to play pool. I kind of feel like maybe we could do like a billiard scene, like in a bar with somebody talking about how they're going to use all the angles.
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Do you want another beer?
Let me get a Heineken if you don't mind.
Okay.
Do the 20 ounce.
Cool. Ooh, the 20 ounce?
I'm putting a quarter here. I got next.
You sure?
We just started though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure about that, pal?
Yeah. I'm positive. Right. I'm positive. I used to play in high school.
Watch out. You mind if I, hey, Craig, you mind if I break while you're getting a beer?
Yeah, go for it. Go for it. I'll be right back. 20 ounce Heineken.
Sure you want in on this, man?
Looks like your dancing partner just took a break. You want me to jump in here?
No, he's gonna be right back. All right.
Line's pretty long. Just took me about 30 minutes to get a brew dog.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, I'm back.
Hey, man.
Oh, thanks, Craig.
I chalked a stick for you. I was just chalking the stick for you.
Oh, shit. Is this two 16 ounce?
Yeah. Yeah. They only had 16 ounce.
Oh, okay.
So
cool.
I didn't want to shortchange
you.
Well,
I'll do
is
the
that okay?
16 and then I'll do four of the other one. And then I don't know if anybody else wants this 12, these 12 ounces, but.
Okay. Also, they each came with two shots. So.
Oh, nice. Nice.
What do you want with.
You got to go back and get them?
I got to go back and get. What do you want, though? They asked me what you want.
Let's do a Let's do an 8 ounce lemon drop.
Sweet.
Yeah. Nice, thanks.
Sweet. Eight ounce
lemon drop. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, gotcha. Nice, all right. I'll be right back. I'm putting a quarter down. I've got next.
All right.
Got next after. Okay. I mean, there's the first game. Damn, it sounds like 8 ounce lemon drop. You're gonna be pretty messed up for our, no, by the no, time no, I gotta, get to the table.
No, that's just gotta keep track of my ounces. That's why I'm.
Oh, gotcha.
Doctor said I can only have 48 ounces of alcohol a week. So. All right, I'm gonna break. Check this out. All right, off the side. Off the side, off the top, off the other side, back to where I hit it, bouncing off the front bumper, and a solid break. Watch this.
Do it. Heads up, loose ball.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry. Ow, sorry, guys. Sorry.
Shit.
Oh, fuck. Right in the, right in the lemon drop.
You broke all the lemon drops.
Oh, man. All right.
I'm sorry, dude. Jeez, I'm sticky as hell. Shit. All right. These were really syrupy lemon drops.
Get a load of these guys. I didn't realize you guys were here. My boys. My boys.
What's up?
It's an afternoon on a work day. You guys taking a national holiday? Who's fresh meat? Who's the fresh meat?
This guy, I don't know. What's your name, pal?
Connor.
Hey, Connor.
Connor Smith.
Hey, Connor. This is Lizard.
Yeah, I'm the Liz. Lizard.
30R. Yeah, Liz.
What's up, Lizard? How are you doing?
Oh, hey, Liz. Hey, guys. I have a bunch of cuts all over my body, and the lemon juice is, so I got to go. I got to take an emergency shower.
Are you, okay.
Yeah. Let me just slide on in.
Yeah, but then I'm going to put down another quarter. I've got,
right, well, now
I got
I'm going to put down a quarter after his, so it's going to go. It goes me after next, and then lemon drop twice, and then me again.
What?
All right, I'm going to put a dollar down, okay. So I got the next four games.
Yeah.
Sorry, your nickname's lemon drop now to me.
What?
Me? Yeah.
That's Craig.
Okay, I don't.
I know. I don't. But you mean he's covered lemon drop.
Yeah.
That's how that's how good nickname is for him. Something funny happens.
Nah, boom. I don't know. It feels like you're working.
Your lemon drop.
Yeah, but the problem is I can't. I'm covered in cuts all the time. So it's almost like I'm allergic to lemon drop. So it's like, is it ironic? Because it's like, I can't. You know. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying.
Craig.
Put the eight ball down. Put the eight ball down.
Connor,
Jesus.
Connor, like, chill with all right, Craig. Okay. All right, he's going to get fucked up. And he's going to. The alcohol's pouring into his bloodstream.
I moved the eight ball, so you got to redo it.
You got to redo the shot anyway because he shot the
whole game. I guess I forfeit the whole game if I touch the ball, right? So you win that round. I'm going to go take an emergency shower. Everything's cool. We're all cool. I'll be right back.
I'll take the shower. I slid in there. That's L. That's an L on the lizard.
sorry,
nah,
Liz.
Nah, it's fine. Just pile it on. I'm a big pit.
The streak continues.
Yeah,
the streak continues, man.
One
sorry,
day I'll
Liz.
Get you. One day I'll get, yeah, one, yeah. I'll get you guys.
Yeah, sure
one day.
Will.
One day.
Hey, Connor, by the way, no one's ever beaten me on this table before. So,
Yeah. You'll get your shot after we do our next, what, four games?
Yeah. No, I actually have the next one.
What? Nah, how can you tell?
I came in. What? Well, because I put a quarter down. I put a quarter down first, and then Lemon Drop put down two quarters.
Yeah, but then we got that dollar. Dollar trumps all. Dollar's king, baby.
Dollar trumps all, man.
So the dollar trumps is four?
Here. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right. I'm going to break again. All right. Yeah. I'm going to go around the world here. All right.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna go off side bumper to break. So
yeah, here's the other thing. I can't call anything. It just as soon as I call it, it's not gonna go that way for me. So it's like I'm watching a magic show.
Liz, you gotta call the opposite stuff you're thinking. Oh. You know, then you might sink something.
Call the opposite of what I'm thinking. Oh,
here we go around the world, baby. Ooh.
Eight
sorry
ball,
about that.
Quarter pocket. And a scratch.
Damn.
Eight ball immediately went in, quarter pocket, and we scratched off the table.
I won!
Damn.
I won! Yeah. Oh, I got Damn my it. First win! I won!
Oh, man. Yeah. All right.
It's Lizard Day! Lizard Day!
I never thought it'd happen. Lizard, get off the fucking table, man.
Oh, shit.
Excuse me, sir. Get off the felt.
Sorry. It's the first time I ever won on the table.
Yeah, sorry, Barry. It's Liz's first time.
I feel like every time I come over here, you're dancing on the table or you're dancing on a table or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, if I hear something that makes me want to shake it, yeah, I'm going to get up and dance a little bit.
All right. Well, just not on a pool table. You can do it on a regular table.
Guys, sorry. I'm just in a towel. I was showering upstairs. Yeah, oh, I only had dish towels, but you know, I have a tiny little waist, it works. Who would be in charge? Because I got a clog up in both my toilet and the shower. It seems to be like meeting at a pipe and then coming up through. And I think my bathroom's right above the bar and the food service area.
I think this is a bigger deal than me dancing on the table.
It is overflowing hard.
Just stay off
hard.
The pool table. I'll go upstairs.
Well, Barry's the landlord, so...
Yeah, okay. Cool.
Sorry, Barry.
Cool. All right, sorry, guys.
Sorry.
I'm going to put a quarter down. I got the next after
Damn
this.
Well, hey, man, Craig, Liz just beat me, man, so.
Yeah, first time ever.
First time.
Big win. Win for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's why I was up on the table. I think I owe myself something a little special. Time to celebrate. You know, as long as Barry's not here, maybe I can just slip these cowboy boots off, and then there's no harm, no foul if I just get on, back
right,
up
look,
on.
I'll keep an eye out. You do your
fuck. Oh, Jesus.
Both his knees hyperextended.
Oh, my knee.
Oh, fuck. And his back hyperextended.
Oh, fuck.
All right, where's the bathroom in this spot? I can't remember the layout.
Okay, yeah, it's right next to the kitchen. Oh. So I've got my kitchen, and then the bathroom is like, no door.
Smells like something's clogged. How long has it been clogged in here?
Oh gosh, you know, it's been slow draining now for a while, but this is the first full clog. But it's been slow.
Looks like a bath. You're taking a bath. It's so.
Yeah,
you took a shower
bath.
just a second ago.
I took a shower, but since it's slow draining, I tend to just dip down in, a little bit, you know, dip down in my juices give myself a little bit of a, you know, deglaze the pan is what I like to say it, you know.
All right, what the heck is clogged? You're bald. What? It can't possibly be hair.
Well, no, I mean I'm bald because I do shave in the I shave my head in the shower constantly.
Oh, okay.
So
it's
and I
by
have
choice.
A really thin. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, like, the illustrator who does the scary stories books?
Yeah.
That's what my hair looks like.
Ooh.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So I have to just shave it
good
right
for
off.
Good for you for taking
terrifying.
Action. That's creepy.
Like, if you, get,
you don't want to look like the stories that you write.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah. Right? Exactly,
all right, let me get
exactly.
In.
So anyway... Yeah. Yeah, it's starting to get into. I mean, I feel like this stuff could flow right down onto your, right down onto the.
No,
the
I appreciate
bar,
you
know?
Saying something. A lot of people wouldn't say anything. Let me get in here.
You like my art?
You did these?
Yeah,
that's,
I did them.
Interesting stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I'm trying to get a showing somewhere. But,
Well, if you ever want to put something down the bar, you know, just let me know. I could. Sure.
Really?
Yeah, I got a lot of bare walls.
Okay.
People keep stealing stuff.
Well, while
people...
you do this, can I go down and start hammering some? Can I start putting these?
Well, which one? Give me. Which one would you want to put down there?
I don't know. I'm thinking. I don't know. What do you think matches the tone of the bar?
Well,
you know, it's a lot of like not a very detailed nudes.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Probably
which...
nothing with the ball gag. With you with the ball gag. You would call this paintings? I would say this is photography. Maybe self portraits.
I know it's really detailed. It's really
is it detailed,
detailed,
or is
I'm
it a photo?
Those... No, I mean get close.
Oh,
get close.
Okay, let me see. Oh yeah! Wow, that's was that chalk? Was
mm-hmm.
that?
Yeah, it's all chalk. It's very
it
detailed
real.
Chalk. Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah. Don't sneeze. Don't sneeze because there's nothing.
I won't. Wow,
yeah,
that's nice.
Hey, Barry, Craig, I'm sorry. I realized that I don't have an invitation, but I saw that you're upstairs, maybe with your landlord
up?
Hat on.
I do have the landlord hat on right now, but come on, what's up, Gene?
Well, the bat is back in my place. So if whenever you're done here, you can come across the hall to my unit and take care of the.
Is it back in because you left the window open with a little can of tuna on the thing again? Is he back? Because you wanted him back, or is he back?
No, I didn't.
I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. All right. Look. I smelled that tuna from a mile away.
Oh, come on. I can't have you in here.
I know what you want, Janine, all right? You think I didn't think you were calling me over here for
creature.
A last rendezvous?
You're a filthy creature. I need you out of my
house. Call the bat. Calling the bat over, huh? Give you a little rabies.
All right, I'm just going to get in bed and close my eyes. And by the time I open my eyes, you better be gone.
Is that what you want? Maybe I'll just
perch on this windowsill right here. Yeah. See if you're serious about that.
Yeah, I want to hear. I'm gonna close my eyes.
Yeah, you're gonna close your eyes. Get in bed.
I'm just in bed. Yeah. Here, excuse me. I can't sleep with pants on. There. Okay. Slid in. Just under the top sheet. Yeah. And I'm just gonna pull it up to my chest.
Maybe I'll just
Does the book mostly go on like this?
Yeah, no, it keeps going. No. No. I'm telling you, keep reading.
Oh, and maybe I'll just eat this tuna while I watch you take your pants off.
Huh? Oh, wow, what a little mouth. It's going a million miles an hour.
Oh, yeah, that's some good tuna.
Does Janine know you wrote this about her? Does Janine know that you're writing about her and this bat fiction?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I do have permission to write a story, but I didn't get the, like, you know, like, she doesn't know, like, everything, like, yet. And I'm going to get that. I'm not going to, you know, this ain't going out until, you know.
You find a publisher?
Until I find a publisher, until I get it, you know, like, until I, like, transcribe it from, you know, handwriting to, you know, like, some sort of format that, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, it's...
But what do you think, huh?
I mean, it's very sultry, very sexy. And the bat is a bat, and it's not a guy dressed up as a bat. It's not like a Batman situation.
So I'm not going to say either way. That's the thing, you know? Like, I kind of want it to feel like you could go either way
with
it.
Sometimes you call
it
the bat,
you know?
Sometimes you say the Batman, so it's...
why don't I take my pants off, too?
See, like, why does he... So he is wearing the Batman suit. Like, that line right there where he's like, let me take my pants off.
Or it's a bat that's just wearing little pants. I don't know.
I've got my eyes closed, but I think I feel a pair of little feet on the bed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I smell tuna. I smell tuna coming up to me.
Get a little tuna.
No, I've got my eyes closed, so nothing that happens counts.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what's that up in the sky? Oh, no. What? It's the signal.
Oh.
I'm sorry, baby. I've got
to
go.
Oh, no, come on. You're always running away to deal with those psychopaths.
Well, I've got to take care of this. Oh. Hang on, let me slip my pants back on.
And I'm not really an author or anything like that, but usually in books, there's just a little bit of exposition or maybe some narration or something. This,
like,
is just back
narration?
And forth.
No, it's
dialogue.
This is all like a script dialogue. Yeah, it's just, and it's in the form of, like, you know, a screenplay, really. Yeah. So it's,
and there
was
two pages where it kind of seemed like you went full comic book, where you drew the little bat talking with the speech bubbles and...
Yeah, you can do that.
It's time for someone to clean this city up. Rid it of all its scum.
Oh, Batman!
Oh, it's the Joker.
That's right. I've got a mixing, a mixer, you know, one of those trucks with a...
I couldn't think of it at the time when I was
yeah,
like,
it seems like you were just,
know,
kind of,
I was just on a
train
roll
of thought.
And
yeah,
was...
it kind of felt like a train of thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And let me use my utility belt that has some stuff on it. That,
oh, no. Oh,
yeah, here. Pow.
Oh, oof. Right in my face. Right in my clown face. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm still smiling.
And remember, at this point, we still don't know, right?
If it's the Batman or just a bat fighting a clown.
I don't, you know,
it's not really something that I would be into, but I think that maybe there's an audience for it somewhere.
No, don't rip off my mask.
That's right. I'm going to see who you really are underneath that thing. Why?
Oh, please.
You're a bat. Oh. No, wait, you're a vampire?
I'm here to suck your blood.
Batman is Dracula.
And that's wow. It.
Batman is Dracula. So it was Batman. It was
Batman, but also Dracula, and he's also a bat. But you know, like it's...
Yeah, yeah. It could be good. Could be really good.
Yeah, it is good. I think it is.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh yeah, it is good. But I mean, it could be. You know, when you said it's a work in progress, so I just wanted to.
Yeah. But I think it's good. I think it's really good.
Okay.
Well, anyway, yeah. It's starting to really smell.
Yeah, I would love to get to this before it's already starting to leak down the stairs a little bit. So let me just get in here and.
Hey, Barry. Hey, sorry, Craig. I know I'm not invited. I know you got your landlord hat on right now, Barry, but I think maybe you need to get back downstairs and put your bar owner hat back on. They called the paramedics for Lizard. And
what happened?
Well, he got back.
Is he dancing with his cowboy boots off again?
Yeah. He slipped off the table, hyperextended his knee, hyperextended his back.
I knew it. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, paramedics showed up and just battering rammed in the front door. So.
What?
Yeah.
Go. All right, sir, what's your name? Sir, do you know your name?
Smoke out, man. Oh, man.
This room's clear.
They call me the Lizard, man.
All right, sir, don't move. Don't move.
Oh, God. I've been trying to stand up, and I'm so fucked up.
All right, Mr. Lizard, how are we feeling after a night here in the hospital? How are we doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm
feeling
cool.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm doing better. Good. I had a rough one yesterday, man.
Yeah, I can tell. I do have some bad news. Unfortunately, because of the hyperextending of your knees, we had to remove them.
What?
Yeah, we had to take your knees, unfortunately, in the night.
No!
Yeah, there were...
I need those!
Yes, most people do, but unfortunately, we had to take them in the night, so...
In the night?
Yeah, it was a nighttime op for our for our paramedic team. It was a nighttime op.
Oh man, I thought somebody was just taking me out to get I thought a nurse was taking me out, you know, not and I fell asleep. I thought maybe it was like one of those like since I couldn't get around, there was a manually someone extracting shit from me or something.
No, it was,
you took my knees.
You had to take the knees.
Well, that's no good.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, you partied too hard. You had your last celebration.
Yeah, I heard that before.
Yeah, but
that's my MO, man.
Yeah. Well, now you don't have knees. Uh-huh. So.
So can I get some attention?
Oh, sorry. Give me 1 second. Yes, sir.
Oh, is it? I'm sorry. I think I'm disturbing my roommate, man. He sounds like Batman.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
I think my bandages need to be changed.
Oh. Looks like the hair implants on your face are coming in pretty nicely. We can might be able to remove the bandages.
Freaking hair implants, nasty.
Yeah, we can probably be moved. Let me check here.
You know, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
I've heard that before. Your fangs look pretty good too. You're healing real nicely. Yeah. Yeah, let me change your bandages here.
Thanks. Please, I need to be out of here.
No,
ASAP.
You have another 4 weeks, unfortunately.
I've got work to
you
do.
Have another. You
four
have four weeks.
Weeks
of physical therapy after a surgery like this, a hair implants on the face, including fangs.
4 weeks of physical therapy for freaking face hair surgery, and I'm discharged in a couple hours. Let's switch, man.
Doctor, please. I need to get it back out there.
I understand that.
That signal's been on for days. Well,
if you really have to go back out there, this is 10 milligram ibuprofen. Take it around the clock every 4 hours.
10 milligrams.
3 pills.
Oh, that's a good stuff.
You can still drink all that good stuff. So, yeah. But make sure to keep your bandages clean and changed. No trying to use your face to scare any crooks or anything like that right away. Because right now it looks kind of laughable. It's going to take a while for it to grow in.
Give me the 10 milligrams and let me get out of here. Doc, my wings, they don't work.
Yeah, it's going to take, I mean, that's really what the physical therapy is for, is getting your wings to actually perform correctly. Because right now your brain is not connected to your wings, and it's going to take a second for those nerves to connect. To merge.
I hear that, baby.
Sir, your brain will never control your knees again. You don't have knees anymore. All the money in the register now.
Okay.
Just open the register.
Please,
put it in the bag.
Please. Okay. No. Don't
smoke
do it.
Huh? Stop right there. Stop right there.
What? I can't see. What was it? Is that Batman?
I can't tell Scott what's going on, man.
Look,
you said this would be easy.
No, please. Don't kill me, please.
What? Why?
What?
Look down.
Okay.
What?
Because that's me.
I don't know you.
I'm crawling towards you.
Ew.
Oh.
Ew, God.
Oh, nasty.
Batman.
Oh, ew. Oh, Scott. Ugh. Yeah. I'm going to get up on the counter so this guy doesn't grab my ankles.
There's a bat in here. You have a bat in your store?
Wait, let me crawl up your leg. Okay, so this guy can get a good look at me.
I don't want to die.
Not
going to
die. Put the money in the bag.
Yeah, put the money in the bag.
Here, let me just perch. Let me perch on your shoulder so I get a good. I get level with this. With this creep.
Oh, this guy looks gnarly. You should be in the hospital, man.
Put the money down. What? And the gun.
Why would I put my gun down?
All right. Put the gun down.
Scott, don't put your gun down.
I'm not going to.
Utility belt.
Put it down.
I'm going to use all the stuff on my utility belt. Let's see what I got here. Let's see. This is a little spear that's going to...
It's a little spear, I think, that's gonna
hook into you, and then it's gonna let me pull you in closer to me, so
Scott, just knock it out of his hand.
Oh God!
The spear went through my neck.
Oh Jesus!
I didn't want to shoot you.
Hold on.
Oh shit, Scott! I'm going over.
All right, here,
hold on.
I'm gonna call the
paramedics.
Oh, damn it.
I didn't want to have to call the police on myself as I'm robbing this place, but I want to make sure that I don't get in trouble for this guy hyperextending his back and knees, and this guy getting a spear through his throat.
Thanks, Scott. Oh God, I'm fucking hyperextended all over.
I'm dead. Don't worry about me. I'm dead already.
No, you're fine.
I'm just dead already.
All over the place. don't give up on yourself like this.
I'm dead. I'm dead. This is it.
Go! Get him! Where's the victim?
This guy
is—he's
got a tiny little.
Oh, I'm down
spear
here.
Through, and then you got a guy back there.
Sir, are you okay? Are you okay?
Don't,
sir. And you're—are you okay? Me? No, I hyperextended my back and
the
knees.
The man with the gun. The man with the gun.
Actually,
are you okay?
Scott, are you okay? I'm actually fine.
And that was Craig Thompson debuting the first chapter of his young adult novel.
Yes.
Batman ?
Yep. Batman ?
Craig, that was riveting stuff. I'm sure it'll all start to wrap together as we read further.
Yeah, that's closer to the end of the book. It's the first chapter, but we kind of start at the end and then we kind of go back. So
interesting.
Yeah.
And I had questions about what your motivations were for these characters and what your inspiration.
Neighbor had a bat flying.
This is a
neighbor had a bat flying.
Interesting. And that spurred all of those details.
Yeah. Okay. It's just like it'd been a long time since I've been creative. And then a neighbor had a bat fly in and I couldn't stop writing.
Interesting. Well, thanks everyone for coming to the new author series. And we have some questions out in the audience. The gentleman in the blue.
Hi there. I know this may be a little bit unrelated to your book, but I just have to know, what is going on with your hair?
Craig, you can answer that if you'd like. If you don't feel comfortable, that's totally acceptable. But
it's okay. I've dealt with it my whole life. I've essentially got what they call Charlie Brown syndrome, but it doesn't neatly go over. It kind of all goes out, you know. So they said they named it after Charlie Brown, but I was the first one to have it, and then I should have been able to name it, but they wouldn't let me name it. They were all laughing at me, and they wouldn't let me name it, and they just kept calling me Charlie Brown, and they called it Charlie Brown syndrome.
Thank you. You're okay.
You should write your next book about that.
Thank you for the question. We have another question out there.
Yeah, I like the scathing metaphor for the paramedics in this country and how awful our healthcare system is in kind of turning them into essentially a SWAT team. Where did the inspiration come for that?
Yeah, Craig, can you speak to that as far as the political, maybe your political, beliefs? It seemed to have a very stark, visceral sort of connotation that maybe it's something you wanted to.
I didn't understand that. I didn't understand the question
several
at
times
all.
In your novel. When the paramedics would come in, they'd bust in with a smoke bomb or a flash grenade.
Yeah, I know. I get that.
Sometimes they'd cut people's heads off. And I thought that was so cool and interesting. Such a great metaphor for our healthcare system.
It is cool.
So where did that? Is that a personal belief or?
Oh,
was that a commentary? Was that a political commentary?
After that M-word, I don't get what you're saying. I don't.
So.
How about commentary? Is it commentary? Is that a word?
What was the inspiration? Let's simplify it.
No. When they come in, they bust in with a smoke bomb and then they cut off people's heads and stuff. Right.
And Craig, was that inspired by it?
And it's cool, right? It's like cool.
I mean, it's awesome.
Look, we'll get cool. to...
So that's what it is.
All right, we have time for maybe in a couple more questions.
What is that?
Yes,
what?
You there, hand up.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite part was hearing about all the stuff that was in Batman's utility belt. Was there stuff that you thought of for the utility belt that you didn't manage to work into the story? Like, what other stuff do you think is in the utility belt that didn't get in the story?
I had tons of utility belt stuff, but I tossed it all down the drain. You know, there was too much. I spent a couple chapters just listing everything in the utility belt, and then I was like, you know, I wouldn't want to read this. So then I scrolled it up and I pulled it. I pushed it down my
It was an interesting choice to have Batman not really sure what was in the utility belt. Also, I thought that was a very interesting that maybe.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be
and
plausible.
That's just what
right?
it is. That doesn't
Batman
mean
may
anything.
Not even
it's
be
just
aware
what it
of
is.
All the things in his
Thank you.
Utility
Thank
belt.
Thank you. I think I speak for all of us, though, that we would read those chapters.
Sir, you can have a seat, by the way. You can have a seat. You've been standing up this whole time.
I wouldn't. They stink.
Sir, you can have a seat. You've been standing up this whole time. I don't know.
Me?
No, the gentleman that just asked. Craig, you've been sitting down this whole time.
Craig, I would really like to get back to unclogging your drain. I really don't want to read any more of this fanfic. Also, at the end here, it's really, I mean, you're just doing your own Q&A at the end.
Q&A? Yeah.
You even admit in the story to crumpling up pages and throwing them down the drain. So please don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go back downstairs to the bar and, you know, do my real job.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot.
You don't have to pay me.
Here's your money.
All right. I'm going to try to go around the world again and I'm going to break it off the corner of the side pocket this time. All right.
Go for it, man. I win again.
Dang.
Two in a row today.
Are we racking these right?
Can't get up on the table this time, though. Oof.
Yeah, sorry, Liz. We got the paramedics are on their way, but...
You know. Oh, geez, no. Can't call them. They'll cut my head off.
Oh man, what a blast. Joran, Louie, thank you guys so much for being here. What a world we created. And just like the book, we'll see how it all shakes out. So do you guys have anything to plug, Joran, Louie? You guys have got anything coming up?
We just do our Wednesday 8 o'clock shows here in Chicago at Finley Dunn's, our current student group from CIC, and then we play, Louie and Farrell and I play as the Prince of New Money Ascons. We've got a couple teams of folks that we like from around town that play with us. So
nice.
Always a good time. Head in and it will feel like nothing's going on, but then you go to the back room
and that's
that's where the magic happens.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm excited to come out. I'm coming in June, so I'm going to come check it out.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Oh,
yeah.
Great.
An extended stay.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
that'd be great. I'll come hang.
Yeah.
And then also class signups for CIC. Is that coming up at all, or is there a way that people can?
Yeah. The level ones are open, and level twos are too. And we're just on a regular, rotation.
Awesome.
So
cool.
Basically, level one is like if you never improvised before, then we'll give you the context to have hopefully everything else make sense.
Awesome.
And level two is like if you've got an entire training program under your belt, then you can hop in.
Oh, nice. That's cool. That's very cool.
Doing scenes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We'll link to that in the show notes. And if you've not taken a class at CIC, it's the best in the city. So check that out. You'll learn more about the types of questions that we posed at the very beginning of the show from Steve P. So thanks again, Steve P. Damien, anything you want to plug? Any shows folks can come see you at in Chicago in the next month here?
Just Annoyance at Thursdays 8 p.m. and 9:30 in the Small Theater, and Fridays at I.O. with a team called Escándalo.
Nice.
So yeah, Fridays cool. at 10 p.m.
Phenomenal.
At I.O.
And I will plug, it's not even my show, but I'll be doing it at some point. It's called the Mandatory Improv Show. It's here in L.A. It's at the Yard Theater Thursdays at 7 p.m. It's being run by Trent Dozier and Alan Giles. There's not a lot of weekly improv shows out here like we have in Chicago, so they are able to secure a weekly spot. If you're into improv, you want to see it weekly, you want to support a fun little community, go check out the Mandatory Improv Show. It's mandatory, and it's at the Yard Theater Thursdays at 7 p.m. Joran, Louie, thanks again, guys. It was great to have you on. That was so much fun.
Thanks for having us. It is always a
thrill.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
See you next week on Improv is Dead, everybody.